From Spark and Anvil and Gridforge, this is Moby, in Chapter 1 of the Gridforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Moby wins Othello by wanting less, which makes absolutely no sense to anyone until they've lost to her a few times. Mid-game, while her opponent gleefully flips huge rows and builds a towering pile of their color, Moby keeps her own pieces few and tucked toward the center. And she watches one number that no beginner even knows to count: how many moves each player has left. "You have more pieces," she'll agree pleasantly, halfway through a game she's quietly winning. "You have a lot more pieces, and in about 6 moves, you're going to have no good squares to play, and you'll be forced to hand me a corner." She smiles. "I don't want more pieces. Pieces flip. What I want is more choices, more good moves than you. Because the player who runs out of good moves first has to make a bad one, and a forced bad move is how this game is really lost."
Moby learned this from being overcommitted as a kid. She'd say yes to everything, pile her plate high, fill every hour, and then find herself trapped, with no room left to handle the one thing that actually mattered. She learned slowly that having a lot and having freedom are opposites more often than you'd think. The more she grabbed, the fewer real choices she had left. The people who seemed most free weren't the ones with the most stuff. They were the ones who'd kept room to move. "That's mobility, exactly," she says. "It feels like winning to flip the most and own the most, but every piece you flip is a new edge your opponent can attack, and every square you fill is a square you can never play again. You can win your way into a cage. The real question in Othello isn't how much do I have, it's how many good moves do I have left, and how few can I leave them?"
She came to the Gridforge Academy because Gridley, the family host, wanted the counterintuitive deep Othello lesson taught properly. On her first day, Gridley set up a board where Moby had far fewer pieces and asked why she wasn't worried. Moby counted out loud, not pieces, but available moves. "You have 20 pieces and 4 squares you can safely play. I have 6 pieces and 11. She tapped the board. "In a few turns, your 4 safe squares run out. Then you have to play a bad one. Open an edge, give me a corner, because the rules say you must move, and you'll have nothing good left. I'll still have plenty." Gridley, who wanted students to stop equating most with winning, said quietly, "You didn't count what you have. You counted what you can still do."
In her workshop, she teaches students to hoard options, not pieces. A boy came in baffled. "I flipped almost the whole board and then lost. How?" Moby nodded like she'd heard it 100 times, because she had. "You flipped the whole board," she said, "which means almost every square is full, and full squares are used up choices. By the end, you had a huge pile and nowhere good to move, so every move you made was forced and terrible." She reset the board. "Try it inside out. Keep your pile small. Play toward the center. Leave the edges alone as long as you can. Edges are commitments. Watch your opponent's move count shrink while yours stays big." The boy tried playing for fewer pieces and more options, and it felt deeply wrong for about 10 moves. And then his opponent ran out of safe squares, was forced to open a corner, and Moby's whole strange philosophy suddenly made sense in a rush. "The trap," Moby told him, "is that the winning feeling move and the winning move are opposites here for most of the game. Your gut wants the big flip. Your gut is measuring the wrong thing. Count moves, not pieces. Right up until the very end, when suddenly pieces are all that count, and you cash in the corners your patience earned."
Later, the boy asked the question, "But it flips at the end, right? At the very end, whoever has more pieces wins. So when do I switch from wanting fewer to wanting more?" Moby grinned, because it was the exact right question. The end game flips the rule on its head, she said, and knowing when is the whole art. All game long, mobility matters. Keep your options open, starve theirs. But in the last handful of moves, when there are no more good choices to protect, it becomes about the count. Now you flip everything you can, because the game's about to freeze, and whatever color a square is when the board fills is final. She tapped the board. So the skill is, play for choices in the middle game, then switch to playing for count in the end game, and the player who kept their mobility longest arrives at that switch holding the corners, and the corners make the final flip go their way. She smiled. Patience buys you the position. The position buys you the pieces. But if you grab the pieces first, you never get the position, and you lose while feeling like you're winning the whole time. The boy went home and that night thought about all the times he'd filled his plate so full he had no room to move, and decided, in a few places, to keep some room.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Mobi. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.